Yeah, y'all, sorry. The videos are kind of slim pickings on this subject, and I realized a couple of things that I like living in South Carolina a lot better than I would like living in California, and the British accents get annoying after very, very, very little amount of time. I was praying this week about what to speak to you about, and this week I wasn't really showing anything in my life. Where I usually get a lot of my messages from, I was drawn to Scripture. And I don't know why, I just started looking through it, found my way to Revelation. And that's something I kind of have, it's a little daunting sometimes. Pastors don't like to, you don't find that many sermons in Revelation. And for those of you that don't really know about it, it was written by John. One of the original 12 disciples. He'd been exiled to an island called Patmos, which is off the coast of Greece. And it was during the time where Romans were persecuting Christians. Strangely enough, John is the only disciple to have died a natural death, even though he was exiled to this barren island. And he was given a vision by God of things that would happen. And it was to give hope to all the Christians that were being persecuted at that time and would be persecuted in the future. It was also a warning about a final judgment. And John wrote Revelation special because blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of the prophecy and heed the things which are written on it, for the time is near. Turn to chapter 3. And this is where this message comes from this week. Jesus was given his opinion of the seven early churches that were around the Mediterranean. And I think he's also talking about churches and individuals in our own time. He gave it to churches, but churches and individual believers have a lot in common. There's one church that I became real focused on, the church at Laodicea. And let's read here. Jesus was talking about this church and said they were neither hot nor cold. And he would just vomit them out. To give you an idea of how this criticism runs, it was the harshest out of seven churches. And the city of Laodicea was located near Turkey, in ancient Turkey, near another ancient city called Philadelphia. Not RPA, but that's where it's gotten its name from. It had been founded about 400 years before this, wiped out by an earthquake. They were so rich that they were able to rebuild it. Laodicea was a real big banking and financial center. They had a salve that ancient medical schools used to cleanse the eyes and repair the eyes with. They also were real famous for black wool, making cloth, making thread and yarn out of black wool. One thing about them, they didn't have any water. All their water had to be piped in from hot mineral springs several miles away. So by the time it got to them, it wasn't hot. It wasn't cold. If you think about like a summer hose pipe, when you start to drink from it one time to about 30 seconds too early, and it's not really hot, not really cold, lukewarm. And Jesus was talking to them in ways that they would understand. There were the seven churches: Sardis, Thyatira, Smyrna, Ephesus, Ephesus, Pergamos, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. Jesus had something nice to say about the other six churches. What's so bad is they had idol worship, adultery, almost church prostitution in some of the other churches. One of them he called dead inside, but he found something nice to say about it. Not this one. I think that says a lot about how he feels about lukewarm. Above Laodicea and below, there were places known for hot mineral springs and the cold springs, but not there. Some people think that this is a portrait of the church in America today. I think it goes beyond that. I think it goes into how a lot of people are today in Christianity. And if you look at this, in verse 15, when he talks about, I wish you were hot or cold, I'd rather have you against me or for me than pretending to be for me, being part of the way for me. At least he knows where you stand there. God is saying, I would rather have you against me than have you pretending to be for me. That's how badly he despises someone being lukewarm or wishy-washy. Dr. Adrian Rogers, who used to be over the Southern Baptist Convention, once said, lukewarm Christians have done more to harm the cause of Jesus Christ than all the prostitutes, bartenders, drug pushers, and pornographers combined. This was hard to listen to. It was hard to read because I've been in that spot. I've been lukewarm. Lukewarm is a state of being indistinguishable from the surrounding environment. You take a glass of cold water or a cup of hot coffee, leave it on the table for an hour. It's to room temperature. Can't even distinguish it. Are either one of them good for anything anymore? No. If you have four men sitting in these chairs, total non-believer, total believer, these two on the fence. This one, he's strong in his beliefs that there is no God, or he rejects him. He's good for something. This one lives his life by what God wants. Not by this, not by the cell phone, but by what God wants. This one can eventually sit in this chair one day and can be reached. These two in the middle, this one in the second chair, it goes to church because it's a family thing. Always gone to whatever, Presbyterian, Methodist, Nazarene, Baptist, and they do it, then they look forward to lunch afterwards, and man, it's just a good time. Wear the new ties, I can wear all of this, I make my connections. He's not going there for God. He's not going there for Jesus. And once he goes out those doors, all this Sunday learning is hung up on that door. This guy is like the seed that fell that Jesus talked about. They're starting to get roots a little bit. And in his mind, he wants to know Jesus. But he can't get to his heart. Because everything in his life overrides that little bit of Jesus in him. Out of these four people, this one has some use. This one has use. These two don't. Not with the way they're thinking and doing right now. Because they are basically trying to lie, saying there's something they're not. And some people think that being on fire for God, having a temperature, being just alive for him, is giving up everything you know. Giving away everything you own, coming up, slapping people upside the head with a Bible. I wish that one worked. It'd make things a whole lot easier. But it's not. You can still have things and be a Christian. You can still have your truck. You can still have your garage. You can still have all this. It's just being a Christian, a real Christian. You're living your life outside of this church with the things that you're talking about inside of this church. That when you do business like you'd want done with you. when you're treating somebody, try and treat them like you'd want to. Some people make that hard. Some people, you're just not going to be able to do it. Even Paul said that. But that's the difference. Problem comes in, and when you get caught here in the middle is when you're saying amen and hallelujah in here, and then you just leave it all out when you go out there. God's got more use for this one over here. This is, I don't believe it. And if you're there, you ain't done nothing for me. He's honest about it. These folks weren't. They were all about amen and hallelujah. And as I've talked about this and described that, have you had people pop in your head? Have you had people pop in your mind when you describe, when I describe those two in those chairs, two and three? The ones that they talk a good game, but when it goes out the door, do they live it? Have you been one of those people in the chair? I have. I still find myself trying to get from chair two and three to four sometimes, because I seriously, there are people that sometimes I deal with that they aggravate me, they irk me, and the red comes out around my neck a lot more than the Bible comes out in my hands. But God wants us, if we're going to talk the talk, to walk the walk. These folks in this church didn't. And a lukewarm Christian, they can look like, talk like, act like a Christian when they're in church on Sunday, but during the week, they ain't a thing that separates them. There's nothing about their talk, their actions, their habits, or their priorities that distinguish them from anybody else. And the scriptures give us a number of symptoms or warning signs that you're getting in there, that you're becoming, people that know me know I love food shows. And there's a danger zone between 40 degrees Fahrenheit and 140 degrees Fahrenheit. That got your attention, Caleb. And if you get in that zone, you get in danger of food poisoning. And that's kind of the zone that you get in when you start seeing these things. If you have someone that they have no witness or no testimony about Christ, it's kind of like the salt that's lost its flavor. Or the lamp in the room that's up under a basket. And I don't mean everybody that you walk up to, let me tell you, da-da-da-da-da. But when that time comes and is on your heart and you turn the other way, when you can help someone and tell them about Jesus and you know that is what's being laid on your heart, and you start humming and you stick your fingers in your ears and you go the other way, got news for you. You ain't hot, you're not cold. You're in the middle. That's when you don't bear witness for Christ. Lukewarm Christian honors God with their lips, but their heart's far away. Counterfeit worship, talk about him. Woo! But they get out, they don't live like it. Or sometimes even in the church, they end up practicing all kinds of politics and all kinds of other stuff that it was never written about in any scripture I've ever read. Lukewarm Christian denies Christ by their actions. Titus, they profess to know God, but in works they deny him. Being disobedient, disqualified for every good work. Lukewarm Christian practices sin as a way of life. We've all sinned. We all fall short. None of us are going to get to heaven by being perfect, because none of us are. One perfect person ever in this world. And he's coming back, but we ain't one of them. None of us are. But you try and be more like Jesus. And when you sin, help me, forgive me, and help me do better. A lukewarm person, they don't think that. They don't confess. They just chalk it up. It'll be all right. A Christian there comes that time when you humble yourself. I've done wrong. Forgive me and help me do better. Lukewarm Christian hears the word, but they don't do it. I've seen people that they read their little devotionals every day, and I think that's a great thing. I think devotionals are good. It's a way to access the word. It's a way to get the word in a way that no one, that it's not like it's being broadcast in the schools anymore or anything like that. But they don't pay attention to it. They read it, check it off their list, and then they're done. They hear it, but they don't follow it. And the lukewarm Christian rejects the idea that God has authority over their life. And they're working for the will of man. Their will, not the will of God. And not trying to seek it. And Jesus was telling them that, you know, you think, say you're rich, wealthy, and you need for nothing. Reality, you're pitiful. You don't have a thing of what you really need. He talks about gold being refined. And he also talks about discipline. That who he loves, he reproves and disciplines. He's knocking for them. They hadn't answered. They got a beautiful church, but they have not actually answered him. And what do? We want to become hot water. How do we start to turn up temperature? Repent. And when I say repent, I mean all of us. There are all things that we can repent for. God, I've been living by my way, by my rules, by my word, not by yours. And I look at my life, and I'm not good for anything for your work. And I don't mean next week. I don't mean next Sunday. But if what we've talked about is touching on some nerves with you, when we go to prayer, Father, I'm sorry, because we ain't never promised tomorrow, none of us. When you see any time that the scripture talks about something being refined, gold being refined or refined gold, it's talking about purifying one's life by the forsaking of sin. In verse 18, Jesus talks about white garments. He's talking about clothing ourselves in his righteousness. Because the righteousness of men, what we in ourselves determine to be righteous and holy, a lot of times we're hypocritical. God's righteousness is something different. It's not being condescending to others. It's not being holier than thou. It is, God, I want to live like you want me to live. That's where those white garments come from, his righteousness, instead of trusting on our own human senses. And Jesus also talks about putting salve or ointment in our eyes. The more we sin, the more spiritually blind we are. And we deceive ourselves. We think we're buddy-buddy. When that time comes, oh, I'm good. And in Matthew, if you remember, Jesus foretold people that would say, I prophesied for you. I did this for you. I did that for you. And he's going to look right at them and say, I don't know you. Get away. That's who he's talking about. Lukewarm Christian thinks that they can get by half and half. They'll be all right. And I'll commit part of my life for Christ, but I'm going to keep the rest of this over here. This is my man cave. I'm going to keep it separate. And everything's going to turn out okay. God ain't looking for part-time Christians. You either in or you out. There are differing degrees on the journey, But you have to make that decision to give your heart over to Christ and try and do better. Jesus won't accept it. And that's not me saying that. That's Jesus. If you go back to verse 16 in this chapter, he's saying, I'm going to spit you out. He's not talking about water. He's talking about you will be rejected. And when we clean our spiritual lives with this salve, it means that we're giving over to the Holy Spirit. Guide us. Open our eyes, open our ears to the truth of God's word. So we won't be deceived about, and I'm by deceived ourselves, because there are times like when I was in my 20s, I thought, I'm a good guy. Something happens, I'll go to heaven. And I realized how wrong I was, because I was living for Mark. I was living all about Mark. There's still times I find myself living all about Mark, and I had to try and get back in the between the yellow lines. And when I prayed about this and made this up, I know it might end up touching some folks a raw nerve. And I'm not trying to throw down on you. These are words I take in, and I have to remind myself about every day, that I either need to run hot or cold. Because a lukewarm pastor is as bad or worse than a lukewarm person in that chair. Before we go to prayer and begin our final songs, I want to sum it up with a story. There was an old country church, and this pastor must have did a fire and brimstone. It must have been a good one, because one guy stood up and said, I've been drinking 3 beers a night. I'm going to quit it today. Another guy got up and said, I've been smoking 3 packs a day. It ends today. Another guy got up and he said, I've been taking pills. It ends today. And this little old lady got up and said, I ain't been doing nothing for years. It ends today. That's the lukewarm person. Sometimes the greatest sin a Christian can do is doing nothing. That we pretend to be something we're not. We have the trappings of a Christian. We can tell you all about the Bible. We watch Courageous in the War Room. But how are we doing out there? How are we doing with those people that need us? I'm taking ministry classes, and I kind of had a little interesting discussion with somebody. And she was talking about, because ladies can be ordained in the Nazarene church to preach. And she was talking about laws for this and laws for that and laws for this. And I told her, and this is a quote from Phil Robertson from Doug Dynasty, that we don't have a problem with laws in this country. We have a problem with hearts. And you've heard me say it before. If one person could lead one more person to Christ, help one other person, how much better would this world be? Do you know how many people it takes to add one new Christian to a church in America? This is a national average, 87 people. That's not me, that's not Wikipedia. That is a Christian survey. 87 people to add one new Christian. Why? Good bit of us, me included at times, we have it. We're all good in here, but when we get out there, that makes us lukewarm. And you can be hot for the Holy Spirit. You can be hot and run hot for God without being a fanatic. Live your life by the rules of God. Do your business by the rules of God. When you're not sure, pray. Pray. If you don't understand, pray. Each week we come in here and we look at the results of prayer. Prayer works for healing. Prayer works for you in, for your own life to give you direction. As we go to prayer and close this message, I'm going to get y'all to stand with me, please. I want you to ask yourself, what temperature am I? If you died right now, right here, right now, you stood before God, would He welcome you? Would He turn you away and say, well, at least you're honest? Or would He spit you out? And if you're uncomfortable with the answer, pray about it. Father, I don't want to be lukewarm. I want to be hot. Where He may lead you, it may not be working here at this church. It may be answering that friend that you know is in trouble, that you have turned away from because you felt uncomfortable, because you've been uncomfortable talking about Jesus with them. Moses was uncomfortable. Elijah, Jonah, all the prophets, most of them were uncomfortable when God gave them things to do. I'm uncomfortable whenever I get up here and talk to y'all. But I pray for the words to say and the courage to say them. That's what keeps you from being lukewarm. And when you go out there and you do business and you interact with people, think about how you're interacting with them. Is it because of Mark's rules or God's rules? Heavenly Father, we come to You in prayer. Father, we don't want to have a spiritual life of an hour-old cup of coffee left on the table, useless for nothing but to be poured out. Father, make us hot. Father, hot water, useful water. As we go out in this world is awash with hurting and sin and lost people. Father, we don't want to go out there as museum pieces to be displayed. We want to go out there as people from a hospital to help take care of these walking wounded, these hurting people. Father, these people that are being blasted on television screens and on phones every day that you're not here, that you don't care, and being blasted about what Christians look like whenever they don't know. Father, let's show people what Christians look like. Please help us and be with us. Father, get in our hearts. Father, if this sermon made people uncomfortable, I'm glad. I am glad. And Father, let it just be a reminder to us all, me included, that You want us hot or cold, but You're not going to take us in the middle, pretending to be something we're not. Father, help us to keep these words past these doors and take them out into this world. And Father, we don't have to change the world, but if we can help one person come to You, one person restore their faith, one person find their faith, then we have saved someone. In Jesus' name we pray all these wonderful things. Amen. The altars are open.